Good morning. It is time to get up with Superstar Sunday. Steph shines the brightest, but it's the hometown kid who gets the last laugh. Meanwhile, an ugly scene from the college game. What will be the fallout from this forgettable moment? We've got all the insight just moments away. And we'll tell you why tomorrow could be the day we finally hear the final word from a man who's had so much to say over the best part of the last year. All that and more. It's a Monday. It's President's Day. And we're delighted you've chosen to get up with us. Look who's here. Graziano is ready to go, and he's not alone. We've got RG3 and MT1. Mike Tannenbaum and Robert Griffin III are ready to go. And Jay Billis and Seth Greenberg standing by. Plenty of basketball conversation today. That's where it begins. Game of the night, All-Star game in Cleveland, and the stars were shining. How about that moment? Michael Jordan, LeBron James, the 75 greatest of all time were there, but it would be Steph who would eventually steal the show from these two. Trae Young and Ja Morant in sync early. Throwing it up is Trae. Throwing it down is Ja. Young had 10 assists, and they're having a good time in the All-Star games. Go to the third quarter. That's where Steph really started to cook. Look at the range. Steph Curry just throwing it from the logo. He's just launching from wherever he wants. Look at this for range here. He's turning away before the shot even goes down, and they are loving it on the broadcast. Look at D-Wade and Reggie and Allen Iverson. They're having fun. Late in the third, it's Steph again in the corner. That's his 15th three of the night. He had 45 points at that stage. Fourth quarter, here's where it gets interesting. I like the format. Target score set at 163. Team LeBron is up a deuce. That's a ridiculous shot from Steph. He's got 50. Later in the quarter, Team LeBron. Game point. This is for the win from Steph, but it's no good. So now we're going the other way. Zach LaVine is going to pull up for a transition three. So now it's 161-160. Next bucket could win it either way it goes. And you know, they're playing this game just a stone's throw from Akron, Ohio. And that is the perfect way for it to finish. LeBron James knocks it down for the game-winning bucket. Right back where it all began. Steph named the All-Star Game MVP. He gets the first ever Kobe Bryant trophy. Team LeBron wins it, and a good time had by all.
Like, obviously, you know I'm going to come in and shoot a lot of threes, but I got hot early, and then the avalanche started and kind of put on a little bit of show, and it was fun. Like, there's a good energy in here, even though I got booed earlier.
I couldn't have dreamt it. I could not have dreamed of that moment any better than the actuality that just happened. To hit the game winner in an All-Star game where me and my guys back in the back, we, you know, used to watch the All-Star game, and to be here for my wife and my kids and my family, my mom, and so many people that seen me grow from a young toddler to who I am today.
Now, LeBron had a lot of things to say over this weekend. We'll get to some of them as we go, but let's talk about Steph. Less than a month from his 34th birthday, he scored 50 points. Second player in All-Star history with a 50-point game. 16 of his 17 field goals were threes. That is seven more threes than any player has ever made in an All-Star game. We'll have more on that game as we continue, but we have to turn our attention to this. This was the moment of the day for all the wrong reasons. Michigan, Wisconsin, by now you've probably seen it. Wisconsin's up 15 points in the final 22 seconds. The game is over. Michigan is pressing for some reason, and we're going to have a Wisconsin kid is going to lose his shoe, and so we're going to need a moment for that. And Wisconsin's coach, Greg Gard, is going to call a timeout. And Juwan Howard does not like that, and I suppose understandably so, but it certainly didn't need to lead to this. You see it here, Gard and Howard, they're going to have some words, and then it's going to get much, much worse. Ultimately, and this is the moment that they'll be dealing with for quite some time, Juwan Howard is going to throw, a punch is not the right word, sort of an open hand slap to the face of an assistant coach named Joe Krabbenhoft, and then all bets are off. Now the players are going to start getting involved in this. We got punching, we got pushing, we've got shoving. Howard has to be restrained. A guard is going to have to get out of there. They can't really restore the peace because they were the ones creating the problem in the first place. Just a terrible moment in every conceivable way. Here was some of the fallout when it was done.
I didn't like the timeout being called, and I'll be totally honest with you. I thought it was not necessary at that moment, especially being a large lead. And then for half a timeout to be called with 3 seconds or 4 seconds to go, I thought that was what I felt wasn't fair to our guys. And so that's what happened. Touching me unnecessary wasn't cause for that when we were talking. And at that point, I thought that was time to protect myself.
He came up to me and pulled his mask down and said, I'll remember that. And he started pointing it at me and tapped me in the chest. And I said, hold on. Let me explain to you why I took the time out. Maybe he doesn't know the rule that you get the 10 seconds reset. I wasn't going to put my players in that type of situation to have to break a press in 4 seconds.
All right, so that's some of the explanation. This is the Michigan Athletic Director Ward Manuel, who said there is no excuse for any of our staff or student athletes to get into a physical altercation with others, regardless of instigating factors. I reached out and apologized to Chris McIntosh, and President Coleman has reached out to the Chancellor Blank to apologize for the totally unacceptable behavior. We will review the situation more thoroughly and work with the Big Ten Conference as they determine their disciplinary actions, and will determine if further disciplinary actions are warranted. All right, for some more insight into all of this, delighted to have both Jay Billis and Seth Greenberg getting up with us early here. And Jay, I will just start by giving you the floor. What is your reaction to this incident from yesterday?
Well, it was disappointing to see two coaches get in a fight in the handshake line after a game is profoundly disappointing. I mean, usually it's the administrators and the coaches that are waving their finger at the players to show decorum and to act the right way. And then when the coaches can't do it, it's really disappointing. And it's also disappointing that people are talking about, well, this guy pressed and this guy called a timeout. So what? None of that matters. The game was over. And if we can't act the right way in the handshake line and then can't take the proper tone in the press conferences afterwards, I don't know what. It's really disappointing.
Seth, how about you?
When I look at it, everyone talks about the timeout. Everyone talks about the pressing. Here's a coach your own team. Juwan Howard should not worry about Greg Gard calling the timeout. And Greg Gard shouldn't worry about Juwan Howard pressing. You do it. It's in the best interest of your team. Now, when those two guys crossed, that's what you call a blow by. Juwan Howard didn't want to deal with Greg Gard. Greg Gard's got to respect that. On the other hand, obviously, cause and effect, what happened after, is totally unacceptable. And, I've been giving a lot of thought to this, Greeny, and I'm saying, I talked to my daughter, and I said, maybe we should get rid of the handshake lines. How about we just act appropriately? How about we lead as opposed to follow? How about we set an example? What happened yesterday was unacceptable. It was embarrassing to both institutions and obviously escalated to the point where people were in danger. We just set a really bad example.
And so then, of course, Jay, it always turns to now what? So if you were making the decision on how this matter would be adjudicated one way or another, where would you begin?
Well, if you're talking about sanctions, the first thing I would look at is what do they do with players? And it shouldn't be any less than a player would get for something similar. And there are differing levels of culpability here. And Juwan Howard being the most culpable for the fact that he threw an open-handed punch or slap, whatever you want to call it. But there are differing levels of culpability here. And what I would say is no one that we're talking about as being involved was blameless. One of the first questions I would ask in the press conference is, do you feel that your words and actions, are you proud of them? Do you feel they were appropriate under the circumstances? Because I'd like to hear the answer from each one of those involved. But I don't think it should be any less for a player when we expect the coaches to as Seth said, to set the standard, set the example.
Yeah, I mean, one might argue that the punishment should be greater for a coach who is expected to be both literally and figuratively the adult in the room. How about you, Seth?
Yeah, I totally agree with Jay. I think that it should be severe, quite honestly. If you're supposed to set the example, the punishment should be severe. And, what my gut feeling is that Greg Gard should get some type of reprimand because he shouldn't put his hands on Juwan. If Juwan didn't want to shake his hand, that's a blow-by. Boom, just move on. On the other hand, what Juwan did was unacceptable, absolutely unacceptable. And other players got involved because there are going to be players that are going to be suspended because there were players that actually threw punches as well. And you put your team at risk. So, I think it should be severe. I think we need to send a message. Let's be adults. Let's do the right thing. Let's set an example. And to me, that's really important for the league and for the big picture. Shaking hands, should we do it? Should we do it? In the end, if you cannot control your emotions at the end of a game, all right, and look someone in the eye and say, let's move on, that's a problem to me. And, I think we need to be above that.
Now, how about, Jay, that? personally, I like the handshake line. I kind of like what it represents, which is to say, you know, good game. We competed against each other for 40 minutes, and now we shake hands and walk away friends. But if it's going to create problems like this, I certainly see people taking the other side. Which side of that are you on?
Well, I don't care for the handshake line for a different reason. It has nothing to do about avoiding confrontation or things like that. I used to call it the Little League handshake line. And to me, if you're taking 30 handshakes in a row, it doesn't have as much meaning. And it's almost like you're high-fiving everybody just walking by. I get it. It's a sportsmanship thing. But I'd prefer the handshake to your counterpart that has a little bit more meaning. But I don't think we should even discuss getting rid of the handshake line because two coaches couldn't behave properly, and that has no meaning to me at all.
I'm with you. Jay, I know you're busy today. I really appreciate you taking a few minutes here. Seth, we'll talk further with you a little later. Guys, thank you very much for the insight.
Thanks, Grady.
All right, let me get to the NFL now because this is a very big week. Tomorrow in particular, the NFL franchise tag window opens tomorrow. The first key date for the Packers as they sort through the futures of that man, Aaron Rodgers, and his best buddy, that one right there, Devontae Adams. Rodgers is a $46 million cap hit for next season. Adams, his number one receiver, is a free agent. And so this is going to be a very important week for this situation. Let's make sure everyone understands why. Graziano, I'll start with you. Set the scene for this week and sort of the mechanics of how this could play out.
So tomorrow is the first day you can use the franchise tag on players who are eligible for it, free agents. They have until March 8th, so most teams do wait. But in the Packers' case, it's very interesting because you have a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. They're waiting to hear what his decision is on whether he wants to come back. It's conceivable that he could base that decision, at least in part, on what the team does with Devontae Adams. So he may be waiting to see what that is. And then on the flip side, the Packers may want to get some indication from Rodgers what he plans to do before they decide what to do with Adams. Tag him, sign him long term. All this, remember, the Packers are projected to be more than $40 million over the salary cap already. That does not include Adams. Once they franchise him, another $20.145 million hits their salary cap, and that makes it even more difficult for them to get under by March 16th.
To be clear, that's whether he signs it
correct.
Or not. The moment they offer that to him, whatever the exact term is.
Right, the moment they tender him the franchise player offer, yes, that their cap has to account for that, so even more work. But again, they have to do it by March 8th. And then you have to be under the cap by the 16th. So it's just one more piece of their puzzle.
Right, so this is playing out right in front of our eyes as we speak. Mike Tannenbaum, you're the general manager of this football team. How are you handling it if you were the GM of that one?
I am tagging Devontae Adams tomorrow morning, and here's why. I'm going to use it hopefully as another tactic to say, hey, Aaron, come on back. We're going to bring back as many of these pieces as possible. We may have to move on from Preston Smith. But we could redo a number of contracts to create cap room, including giving you an extension. However, if that doesn't work out, Greeny, I still want Devontae Adams because there's so many question marks in the NFC North. Two new coaches, big question mark at quarterback in Detroit. So if you brought in a veteran quarterback like a Jimmy G or a Jameis Winston to compete with Jordan Love, Devontae Adams is a great player who's 30 years old. We could still win the North, albeit a lot more difficultly without Rodgers. So either way, I want Devontae Adams on our team.
Bookmark that thought for a minute. Let me get RG3 in first on the big picture here. You're obviously following along with all this mess, I guess you'd call it, with Rodgers all year long and Adams. How do you see it now as we approach the franchise tag?
Well, first and foremost, I say with Devontae Adams, you want to keep him on your team because he's your best wide receiver. When it comes to him and Aaron Rodgers, who do you pay? How do you go about that? I'd be more likely to pay Devontae Adams and ask Aaron Rodgers to take less money just because Devontae Adams has earned the right to not have to play on the tag this year for what he's done for Green Bay and over the course of his career. But when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, no better place for him than Green Bay. So that's why I think he goes back. He shouldn't be going anywhere unless it's to go host Jeopardy. He owns this division, not just the Chicago Bears, and he's played at a really high level. So I think for Aaron Rodgers, he's got to look at it like, what else is out there for me? What is the grass greener on the other side? And I just don't think it is. I think Green Bay is the best spot for him.
Isn't that an interesting one, Mike T? Because how do you broach that? Here you are trying to convince Rodgers to stay in the first place. And now we're adding in, and oh, by the way, stay and take a little less money than you might otherwise have earned over the course of time so we can keep your buddy Devontae and some other players together. How does that conversation sound?
Greedy, you got to be a world-class listener and just say, hey, what do you want? If you want the most money, great. We're going to give you 10% more than Patrick Mahomes. If we do that, Aaron, here's who's going to graduate. If you take a little bit less money like Tom Brady did in Tampa, we could bring back more of the gang, guys that you want to keep. So you're here. We'll pay you as much as you want. I'm just the point guard of information, and I'm going to listen to whatever you want. But understand, the more of the pie you take, the less of the of your teammates that will be here.
Danny, put a ribbon on it for
me.
Yeah,
just people are going to see that $46 million tag number or the cap number. That's not his salary, right? They can do an extension that pushes the, you know, that pushes things out into future and lower this year's cap number and still pay him at the very top of the quarterback market if that's what it takes, if that's what he wants. But again, we still have to hear from Aaron Rodgers on what he wants before we know anything about what's going to transpire here.
And we will soon, at least if he keeps his word and said he will do this expediently to keep them not sort of held over a barrel during this period. Remember, the Super Bowl's a week later, so everything is compressed a little bit to the calendar the way we've used to seeing it go. In the meantime, the Dallas Cowboys have some interesting business going on as well. The core of their coaching staff, as you know, is returning. Mike McCarthy won twice as many games in his second season as he did his first, but hasn't won a playoff game since 2016 when he was with Green Bay. He's coming back. So is his defensive coordinator. That's Dan Quinn. The Dallas defense was vastly improved, led the league with 26 interceptions and 34 takeaways last year. Only Buffalo and New Orleans had better defensive efficiency. And then there's Kellen Moore on the other side. That was among the best seasons he's had as well. The Dallas led the league in yards per game under Dak Prescott, a return from a season-ending ankle injury back in 2020. And Dak is excited about the continuity. He says, quote, I think as much as it benefits me, it benefits just the offense in general and the team structure and culture. We were fortunate to get through the coaching changes, keeping the OC and DC. It brings a lot of excitement, I know, to the building. And while generally we consider stability and continuity to be positive words in pro football, RG3, there might be some reason to see this the other way. How do you see it?
Yeah, continuity is often a key or a precursor to success. I just don't look at it that way for the Cowboys. They're bringing back the two coordinators from a team that underachieved last year. And not only that, they're also bringing back the two clubhouse favorites to replace Mike McCarthy after he had a tough year with clock management. So when I look at Kellen Moore, I think to myself, man, this Cowboys offense is too talented for them to have the struggles that they had late in the year last year and not be clicking on all cylinders. And what are they going to do with Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup? They've got extreme talent at the wide receiver position that helped them lead the league in yards per game, but they have to figure out if they're going to bring them back. What are they going to do at running back? You got Ezekiel Elliott, who you're paying a gazillion Bitcoin to. You got Tony Pollard, who's out there giving you massive amounts of production when he's not really getting paid that much. So I think they have a lot more questions, but continuity might not be a good thing for the Cowboys as they've been mediocre for a while now.
Are they doing the contracts in crypto these days? If that word had eluded me, but that's an interesting perspective. Dan, it is an interesting way of looking at it. Continuity amongst the players may not be 100%, and with the coaches, that is a mixed bag.
Right, and look, I mean, Dak Prescott's going to say what he's going to say. He's not going to say, oh, I wish we hadn't brought the coordinators back. Right. That would be a bad thing for the leader of your team to say. Right. But I think what the key for the Cowboys is assessing what they really were on offense. And this is a team that scored 40 points a game in its six division games and 26 points a game in its other 11 games, right? So when they were playing in the NFC East, they were a dominant offense. When they weren't, they were not a dominant offense. They were an average one. So RG references Amari Cooper, a candidate for a potential cut if he doesn't restructure his contract. They have work to do at the wide receiver position, whether they keep him or not. They have other, you know, the offensive line is showing some age, some health issues. They have to beef up some places there. So there are things to be done on offense, and the continuity on the roster may not mirror the continuity on the coaching staff. I think that's the bigger concern for the Cowboys.
And Mike T, the very presence, and RG3 brought this up, and it's interesting, the presence of Kellen Moore and particularly Dan Quinn and the pressure, the added layer of pressure perhaps, Mike, that puts on the head coach.
I actually think it's a good thing. I mean, Mike McCarthy knows it starts with discipline. You were the number one team in the NFL in penalties. That has to get better. Look, the day that you become the head coach of the Cowboys, there's enormous pressure. So the fact that Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore are there, it just adds another layer. But it's going to be there anyway. And the other thing I want to put in context is they had a great offense. When Dak Prescott was the quarterback, and Kellen Moore's calling the plays. They average 30 points a game and over 420 yards per game. That's outstanding. And this is the first time that Dak, not coming off of an injury, not dealing with a contract issue in a couple years. So hopefully continuity will help them, Greeny. But to me, it's about discipline, and that goes back to the head coach. Number one in the league in penalties, and that is just unacceptable.
Yeah, number one, meaning in all the wrong ways. They were number 32 in the league in penalties, depending on how you want to look at it there. It's two sides of the same coin. All right, coming up here, we got so much more from the NFL, actually. Busy little day. Was there a rift between Tom Brady and Bruce Arians? Is that why Brady retired? Arians responded to that report. You got to hear what he said, and you will on the way. Plus, LeBron hits the big shot and makes all the big news at All-Star Weekend. Is he putting his team on notice? We'll get to that next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need. Hey, RG3, get a load of this. Friday night's NBA celebrity game. What are we going to do with Myles Garrett? I mean, how can a person be this athletic?
I mean, Myles Garrett looks like the Incredible Hulk and the Velociraptor had a baby. But he's out there just picking on people for no reason. What's Machine Gun Kelly going to do with that guy? He's got more guns than him.
That was the most unfair matchup I've ever seen in my entire life, Machine Gun Kelly. All right, that's well played. As we continue, much more on the brawl. Not a laughing matter between Michigan and Wisconsin yesterday. What should the fallout of this be? We'll ask Jay Will. He'll be in our studio coming up. And then just how unhappy is LeBron in L.A.? Is it possible he wants out? The answer to that question is on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, we are back on Get Up, and again, to take you back to the scene yesterday in Wisconsin, this moment between Juwan Howard, the coach of Michigan, and that's Greg Gard, the head coach of Wisconsin, after Gard had called the timeout very late in a game that Wisconsin had already easily won, and then again, this moment here, you'll see Juwan Howard with an open hand, I don't know what you want to call it, a slap or whatever, to an assistant coach, Joe Krabbenhoft, and then all that came after. We talked about it at length earlier today, and I'm so glad that Jay Will's able to make it across the hall. KJM every morning on ESPN Radio, but a few minutes for us here, just right off the top of your head. We all saw it yesterday. Mm-hmm. College basketball is something that is so near and dear to your heart.
Yes.
What's your reaction?
Greg Gard should be suspended for one game, and I think that Juwan Howard should be suspended for the rest of the season, including the regular season and post-tournament play. Here's the thing. There's culpability on a variety of issues here, Greeny. Number one, I get why Juwan Howard was angry. Pretty much the unwritten rules of basketball. If you're up double digits with 14 or 15 seconds left to go in the game, regardless if the other team is pressing or not, you don't call a timeout. You're doing that. That's an insult. Juwan Howard was actually trying to give him a blow-by. Was going to give him a dead fish handshake, move on quickly. Greg Gard actually grabbed his left arm, grabbed him. And you heard Juwan Howard say, don't grab me. Do not touch me. I don't think Greg Gard should ever feel the entitlement to grab another coach to begin with, even if he wanted to explain himself. That's number one. Number two, for Juwan Howard, in this moment, this is a guy, and I've known Juwan Howard for a long part of my life. Last year, he had a situation with Mark Turgeon where he was caught charging after Mark Turgeon. It looked chaotic. Mark Turgeon reported, the head coach of Maryland, that he said, I would blanking kill you. Right? Now to be in a situation where it looks like he was moving away from the contact, then throw a punch, even if it was open hand, that opens up Pandora's box, Greeny, for the rest of your team to start fighting into a physical altercation. And I think when something like that happens, considering the prior history, you have to suspend him for the rest of the season.
It's such a bad set of circumstances in so many different ways. To your point, if Greg Gard wants to explain to him, I'm not in any way excusing what Juwan Howard did. Where are you? Over here. I'm not in any way excusing what Juwan Howard
did. Yes.
But if Greg Gard wants to explain to him why he did it, he can do it later. He can call him on the phone.
1,000%.
It's not like these people have no ability to communicate with each other any other time than this the handshake line. Very quickly, because I had Seth and Jay Billis in here earlier talking about the handshake line in general. I mean, is that where do you stand on the whole handshake line of it all?
I mean, I'm whatever on it, to be honest with you. If that's what people want to do, to show, hey, you know, good chivalry, like, you know, we played the game well, fine. But I mean, that whole thing didn't even need to occur because Greg Gard did not need to grab him. That does not excuse Juwan Howard and his reaction. Now, most of the time in these situations, the person who reacts is the one that gets caught.
Right.
But look, you don't throw hands at anybody. If you do that as a representation of the forward face of the University of Michigan, there has to be major repercussions for Ward Manuel to have imposed on Juwan Howard because of that.
It escalates the situation.
I don't think he should lose his job.
Right.
I think he should be suspended for the rest of the season.
Right. Yeah, like they shouldn't have been pressing, and then they shouldn't have called a timeout, and then this. But none of it excuses this,
Agreed.
The point. I think that's the most important point to be made here. All right, a lot of things I want to do with you here. Let me show everybody a quick look back at the highlights of the All-Star game yesterday. In case you missed it, the All-Star festivities yesterday in Cleveland, and that's, of course, the hometown of that legendary man there, LeBron James, with the legendary Michael Jordan. But it would be a legendary performance from Steph Curry that steals the show here. He winds up winning the All-Star Game MVP as he was just knocking down threes all over the place. He made 16 threes in this game and finished with a total of 50 points. Fourth quarter, this is the game-winning shot here. Again, they were playing to a total. 163 was the game-winning score, and that is the game-winning bucket from LeBron, who grew up right down the way. So sort of an appropriate finish there and a fun night had by all. And candidly, I like the format where they play to a score. On another day, we could have a conversation about that. But LeBron James said a lot of things this weekend that got people talking. In case you didn't hear it, they were talking about general managers, and he kind of took it upon himself to make these comments.
The MVP over there is Sam Presti. He the MVP. I mean, Josh Giddey is great. Sam Presti, I don't understand. This guy's eye for talent. He drafted KD, Russ, Jeff Green, Serge Ibaka, Reggie Jackson, Josh Giddey, and the list goes on and on and on. This guy's pretty damn good.
He has 38 picks over the next 7 years.
Sam Presti is the GM in Oklahoma City and has been for a long time, for those who don't know him. So a lot of people are listening to LeBron's comments and interpreting them as a not-so-subtle shot at his own general manager, Rob Pelinka, who didn't do anything at the trade deadline. How did you take it?
What's that Verizon commercial? Can you hear me now? Mm. Can you hear me now? Mm. Can you hear me now? I mean, this is the second time LeBron James has done this. He did it the first time, and I came on your show and explained to people when the Rams won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Les Snead was wearing a shirt of himself that said, blank them picks. LeBron James then quote tweeted that and said, legend, my type of guy. I mean, if that's not an obvious, blatant sign that LeBron James is taking shots at Rob Pelinka, I don't know what else. When LeBron James wants to win a world championship and people are wondering why Russell Westbrook, you know, and Rob Pelinka didn't pull that trigger, right, in order for them to get that trade with John Wall. And I get it, because I wouldn't have made the deal from Rob Pelinka's perspective, because this 2027 first-round pick is the only asset that you actually have. But from LeBron James' perspective and Clutch, when all these rumors are coming out saying they're not happy with Rob, it's apparent. It's right there.
And a lot of people are looking at this and saying LeBron James seems to have signed off on all the reason that you're upset if you're LeBron is that the NBA is littered right now with great young former Lakers that are on like practically every team at this point. But most of those decisions were made in the goal of bringing back Anthony Davis, and they did win a championship with that. And now bringing in Russell Westbrook, which everyone thinks that LeBron signed off on, if not endorsed. So how much of this is really on the general manager?
Oh, well, that's the problem. It's on LeBron, but also, like, that's why LeBron was able to be successful when he was in Miami. Pat Riley was that guy. It was somebody that LeBron James respected. And Rob Pelinka got a lot of clout within the building because of Kobe Bryant. And I know Kobe Bryant's no longer here with us. Rest his soul in peace. I can't even say that right because I get nervous talking about Kobe. But it goes to this point now where LeBron James is like, yeah, I messed up. But it's your job to put me in a better situation. And I think that lack of respect is something that we're starting to see now.
So, I mean, you take that and you say, well, does this mean that LeBron James isn't going to finish his career in Los Angeles? Well, then he starts talking about Cleveland. That, of course, he's a hometown kid. He's from nearby Akron. And when he was asked if he would consider coming back to Cleveland, he said, quote, the door's not closed on that. I'm not saying I'm coming back and playing. I don't know. I don't know what my future holds. Again, LeBron James is so many things. One of them, he's a very intelligent person. He's well aware that when he says that, the world is going to lose its collective mind. How should we react to it?
Well, also something that we didn't talk about, LeBron James also said he would like to play his last year with his son.
Well, so we have that too. So why don't we actually do that? We'll put them together. If you want to put those comments together, Cindy, let's put those up there as well for those who didn't see it, because he did say that wherever he finishes his career, it's going to be with his son, Bronny. My last year will be played with my son. Wherever he's at, that's where I'll be. I would do whatever it takes to play with my son for 1 year. It's not about the money at that point. So, Jay, put those together. He's opening the door to Cleveland.
There you go.
He wants to finish with LeBron, with Bronny. So now what?
Hey, Dan Gilbert, any way you can allocate a piece of the team for me to have ownership before it's all said and done? And, by the way, think about this. We see it. You know why Jim Dolan owns the New York Knicks? Because his father. It got passed through lineage, right, in the family.
Yeah.
This is a beautiful piece of nepotism that we're seeing here, right? LeBron James is now increasing the value in the stock of his own son. And people were saying Bronny James could be, you know, if he were coming out 2024 in a draft, which he would be optional for Greeny, he may not be drafted. Right? But you're now talking about LeBron James's son potentially being a first-round pick or a lottery pick. If you know that Cleveland this weekend, due to the All-Star game, has stimulated $100 million worth of revenue for the economy. Imagine what LeBron James being part of your franchise for an entire year with his son in his last year. Imagine what the season would have been like for Tom Brady if we knew coming into the season it was his last hurrah. So I think it's a chess piece move for LeBron James and how he's looking at the franchise and where he wants to own and how he wants to end his career with his son.
Boy, he had a lot to say this weekend. One more thing, because a lot of people were saying things about the slam dunk contest on Saturday night. We watched it. It was less than scintillating. I'm not sure exactly what adjectives to use. Not sure which ones are appropriate for a family show. That's Obi Toppin. He wound up winning the whole thing, actually. And if you watched it, you don't need me to explain to you why it was less than a successful event. So, Jay Will, what? What are we going to do about the slam dunk contest?
Well, it's like you go to Kentucky Derby to watch the Kentucky Derby. And for me, I go to the All-Star game to watch the slam dunk contest. Mm-hmm. I don't go to watch the All-Star game. I go to watch the Derby, the slam dunk contest. I want to see Zach LaVine. I want to see Aaron Gordon. I want to see Zion Williamson, if you're healthy. Ja Morant. LeBron James, who's never been in a dunk contest his entire career. Giannis, I want to see those type of names. They need to do something, make it an incredible purse, because the one thing that you're missing, it just misses the major feel that it brings to an All-Star weekend.
Yeah, of course. But to be clear on what you're talking about, you need to put enough money on the table
yes.
that guys who already have contracts that are worth $100 to $300 million will be moved to do it for the money?
Yes. Money makes the world go round.
Is there an amount of money that would do? I saw someone say $1 million. These guys, $1 million just doesn't mean to them what $1 million means to most people.
Yeah, but also, I mean, that's a drop in the bucket compared to what the TV right deal is going to be for
no,
the NBA
as
they move forward, right?
I'm so saying, how much is money?
I don't have the number.
Right.
Yes, I mean, there's no other way that you can incentivize somebody else to do something, Greeny. I mean, they haven't been doing it for the love of the game,
right?
I mean, guys play all year long now. You have to incentivize them some form or fashion. It has to be the revenue.
I don't know what it is, but somehow. Now, back in the day when Michael Jordan and Dominique Wilkins were going head-to-head,
I get it.
I don't know how much money the winner got, and yet it was the most spectacular thing in the world.
Look, if I had a 45-inch vertical, I can guarantee you I would be in a dunk contest every single year. But obviously, people are being motivated by different factors these days now.
It was a very difficult event to watch. You got to get back on the radio, my man. Thank you. Jay Will with us again. KJM, Coast to Coast every weekday morning on ESPN Radio. Meanwhile, Wednesday night, it's the 7th annual She Believes Cup. It wraps up on ESPN2 and the ESPN app. The U.S. Women's National Team takes on Iceland. Our coverage will start at 9 Eastern on ESPN2. All right, coming up, was there a rift between Tom Brady and Bruce Arians? Is that why Brady retired? You need to hear what Arians had to say about it. You will, coming up next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back on Get Up, and the NFL news never stops. Dan Graziano, let's run the hurry up. Tell everybody about Brian Flores.
Brian Flores was hired this weekend by the Pittsburgh Steelers as a defensive assistant coach, linebackers coach. He will join Mike Tomlin's staff in Pittsburgh. The law firm representing him in his suit against the NFL says that suit will go on, even though Brian Flores does now have a job in the league that he is, in fact, suing. The NFL scouting combine next week in Indianapolis. This is a source of controversy right now. Agents representing more than 150 players are threatening to have their players boycott the combine drills. You see here the 40-yard dash, etc. If the NFL does not change its plan to put the players in a bubble. The NFL told players over the weekend that it was going to put them in a bubble for COVID reasons. They wouldn't have access to their trainers, their nutritionists. The agents want that changed in order to agree to have their players go. Watch out for news on that in the next couple of days. And then Bruce Arians, Buccaneers coach Bruce Arians, telling the Tampa Bay Times, "It would shock me," that's a quote, "if Tom Brady returned to the NFL." This is in an interview where Arians was addressing and denying the story that there was a rift between him and Tom Brady regarding game plans this year. But the upshot is Arians says he would be shocked if Brady returned from his announced retirement. Worth noting that about a month ago, Arians said he would be shocked if Brady retired.
Right, that's right. So a lot of shocking things seem to happen in the world of Buccaneer Bruce, as we call him on this show. And so, Mike T, for those of you who don't know, the analysts that we have on the show, they send in notes every day so that we can see what their thoughts are and stuff. And you, I don't know if you meant it this way or not, but Mike, you said 2 weeks ago, Tom Brady retired from the Buccaneers. Did you mean that to suggest that that was really a retirement from a team more than it was a retirement from the sport?
Yeah, I think so. I think as this plays out, I think if he played, he would be interested in going someplace else, and you just have to read his comments to sort of deduce that. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I wouldn't be shocked if he played again. And to me, if he did, it would probably be someplace on the West Coast. So we'll see how this goes. If he ever says to Tampa Bay, "I want to come back," it would really, from a cap standpoint, harm them significantly. So it really, both sides would have a lot to work through if he decides to come back at some point over the summer.
Yeah, I feel the need to keep reminding the audience that Brady's path to playing almost wherever he wants to is one that you know personally, because you brought Brett Favre over from Green Bay. He then retired again after one season with the Jets. And then when you traded up and drafted Mark Sanchez, Favre recognized if he unretired, you weren't going to keep him, and that would put in motion his ability to go wherever he wanted. Is that the game plan for Brady here if he wants it?
Yeah, and most notably, there is no way, Greeny, we would have let Brett Favre play in the AFC. We didn't want to have a great quarterback prohibit us from getting to the Super Bowl. So likewise, I'm sure if Tom Brady said, hey, I want to come back, and at that point he said, I'm not playing for you guys in Tampa, my response is, after I try to cajole, recruit, and whatever verb you want to use, if you really want to do that, Tom, you are not playing in the NFC, and we'll trade you to some team in the AFC, but there's no way that if you'd say you're not coming back here and want to play, we're not going to let you go to San Francisco or another team that may inhibit our chances of getting to the Super Bowl.
All right. So, again, was the word shocked that Arians used?
Shocked.
Be shocked. RG3, would you be shocked if Tom Brady played again?
Oh, no, I wouldn't be shocked at all. I wouldn't put anything past Tom Brady. You know, he could be saying that he's retired and then be working in the Bat Cave to be the week one starter for the Indianapolis Colts. We never know. But when it comes to this rift between him and Bruce Arians, he always has plausible deniability because he never really responds to these types of stories. You know, he does too much. He makes too many statements with his play, his rings, and those magnificently edited videos that he posts on social media. Hats off to his social media team. But I just don't see Brady coming back like a Favre. He's 44 years old, right? But if anybody can beat Father Time, then it's Dr. Strange himself, Tom Brady. He's been doing it for a long time, so I don't put anything past this man.
Okay, so just for the fun of it, you used Indianapolis there as a straw man, if you will, in this conversation. Did you do that advisedly? Does that seem, if he decides he wants to play again, is that a spot that makes sense to you?
Well, I think, you know, Mike T gave some great insight into what the process of him coming back to play and how he would handle that as a general manager. But, yeah, Indy's a great team for Tom Brady to play for. They've got the pieces in place, great defense. Offensively, he's got a great running back in Jonathan Taylor that he can lean on, an offensive line to protect him, and it's indoors. So this late in his career, maybe he doesn't have to worry about weather as much as he has in his past two stops, whether it's too cold in New England or too hot in Tampa Bay. So Indy would be a good spot, but we're also just contemplating and talking about a guy who's just trying to hang out with his wife and his kids right now.
Perhaps, but I like the Goldilocks analogy. You know, is it too hot in one place and too cold? But is there one that's just right, Dan Graziano? How about it? What is your sense of how this thing is playing out in front of us?
I think, you know, to Mike T's point, if Brady wants to come back and play for a team that's not Tampa Bay, the first thing that has to happen is Tampa Bay has to replace him. Right, because once they have another quarterback under contract, then that gives him leverage. If he says, you know what, hey, I do want to play, but you know, you guys can't afford me anymore. So let's talk about, are you going to trade me somewhere? Are you going to cut me? So, again, we are in a hypothetical realm. We do not know. This is fun to talk about. Like, would he want to come back and play for somebody else? It may be that he's watching and going, these guys are nuts. I'm retired. This is never going to be an issue. But this is Tom Brady. You know, he played till he's 44. He could be walking around with, you know, tennis balls on the bottom of his walker, you know, decades from now, and we'll still be saying, ah, he might be able to give it another go. So
that's the one thing I will say. If he's watching right now, it's a lock. He's coming back. If what
if he's
doing with his
show,
time right now is watching Get Up on ESPN, then he's definitely coming back. Mike T, give me a final word. Go.
Yeah, we're speculating, but Tom Brady is the reason we are. He could have told Jim Gray, never, ever am I playing again. He did not say that, and I think that's worth noting.
Oh, 100%. Yes, but we are clinging to that like there was no tomorrow. All right, let's run through some bold predictions then, because we're heading into this offseason. It's going to be interesting. So let me throw some questions out there. Graziano, who is going to be the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers?
My guess is Mitch Trubisky. I think this guy went to Buffalo to rehab his career under Brian Daboll and behind Josh Allen. Seems like it went well. I think the Steelers are going to be looking for a veteran option, but maybe not the most expensive one in the world because they have other work to do on their roster. Just feels like the kind of guy that might fit there.
I like that. RG3, we got to get used to saying this. Who will be the Washington Commanders quarterback next season?
I believe Jimmy G will take command in Washington. They want to win with great defense and a quarterback who can win with minimal pass attempts. You know, for all the hate he's gotten, one thing is true. When he played, the San Francisco 49ers won a whole lot more games than they did when he didn't play. So I think Jimmy G is the guy for Washington to take command.
That's a good one. And Mike T, how about the Saints? Who's going to be their quarterback?
Russell Wilson, and this is a complete win-win, Greeny. They have a championship defense. With Russell Wilson, they would have a real chance to get to the Super Bowl. And Seattle, they have to rebuild. Since 2016, Greeny, they've had 52 draft choices. Only three of them have made the Pro Bowl, and one of them is a punter.
But it's interesting, and I will remind people that when Russell's agent gave Adam Schefter a list of four teams he'd be interested in, this is going back to last offseason, they were the Raiders, who got a great year out of Derek Carr, the Bears, who drafted a quarterback, the Cowboys, who then paid Dak Prescott. So New Orleans remains the one that's on the table here.
Now, Sean Payton was the coach at the time.
Right.
And you wonder if that was part of the draw. New Orleans is keeping a lot of continuity on its coaching staff with Payton gone. So that maybe that's part of trying to attract him. But, yeah, I mean, that was one of the teams. And you wonder if a year later that list could be expanded.
We'll find out. I guess it's going to be a very interesting quarterback offseason. They always are. Meantime, what a Big Ten, Big 12 Super Tuesday doubleheader we have coming your way on ESPN and the ESPN app. 7 Eastern, you got number 19 Michigan State taking on Iowa. Then you got the in-state rivalry game between Kansas and Kansas State at Allen Fieldhouse. All the action tomorrow night on ESPN. Meanwhile, as we continue, we go back to Wisconsin. What will the fallout be from this highly forgettable moment between Michigan and Wisconsin yesterday? We will get the insight just moments from now. And then why Aaron Rodgers' future in Green Bay could be decided this week. And it has everything to do with his favorite teammate. We'll explain right after this. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.